Did you guys do any gold mining on your own? Did you accept the challenge and take a look at the differences between Luke 21 and Mark chapter 13? I don't hear a lot on affirmatives, a lot of affirmatives. I guess we'll just have to do this panning together. yeah, I understand. All right. Tonight, he who is counted worthy is saved by the rapture. We're going to take another look at Luke 21, and we're going to compare it to Mark 13. We're going to spend probably equal amount of time in both Mark chapter 13 and Luke 21, as we're going to see how Mark talks about the church and the persecution and the things that are necessary to share the gospel. So we're going to look at that. But we're also going to look at Luke about how the church is to always have their eyes watching and waiting for the rapture, not for the Antichrist. But then we'll look back at Mark and see how their focus is on the coming season of the tribulation, because they have missed the rapture, or they are, you know, the Jews, and they're the remnant of the Jews, and they're getting ready to escape, and they need to be watching so that they can escape and go to Petra and to be ready to receive their king. And the others that are being warned are, of course, the tribulation saints. Those tribulation saints are the elect who were not believers before the rapture, but the left behind. If you've seen that Left Behind series, they got the flick, so to speak. And there will be a place in heaven for them. But they will have to die for their faith. They will have to be martyred. And they will not be part of the church. The church is set apart. And we'll look at that next week. Next week we're going to look at, oh, I love that part about Revelation, about how the church in Revelation chapter 4 sings the song of redemption. We're already out of there. And then the seven seals and the seven trumpets, the wrath of the Lamb will take place in Revelation 6. And then the wrath of God on in 13, or Revelation 14. The wrath of God then takes place, the great tribulation after the abomination of desolation is set up. So we'll tie all that together. But tonight what we want to do is still continue this preparation as Jesus talks about the last days. Last days is what I call the church and sharing the gospel so that the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Right? Because that's really what our purpose is in these last days, is to share the gospel so the fullness of the Gentiles can come in. Because when that last Gentile gets saved, then the rapture happens. Amen? That's what the Word says, and that's what we're going to explore tonight. So we'll take a look at that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You. We adore You. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace that was demonstrated by Your Son in the flesh, here on earth, who died on the cross for us, who's raised from the dead, as we are raised from the dead. Father, and we've been given new life, as new creations in You. Overwhelmed by the Spirit, baptized inside and out, to be Your witnesses and to have that refining fire in our lives, just to continue to reform us and conform us to Your image, the image of Your Son. And Father, You tell us that we're to know, and that we're to be ready, and we're to be watching. And a lot of people say that, well, the rapture doesn't really have anything with salvation. Well, it does, if you want to be in the rapture. And so, Father, may we be prepared. May we be watching. May we be ready. May we know the signs of the time. May we share those with others, so that they will know the truth, and that they will be ready as well, and that they will be praying that they are worthy to escape. And so we lift all these things up to You. May You share this message in the power of Your Spirit. May our hearts be prepared. May we all be built up as You would desire us to be in this message. But most of all, may You be glorified, and may our Lord and Savior be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, people will say that the rapture really doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Well, Jesus talks about it in three different chapters as far as for us to be watching and to be ready and not to miss that day. Because if we miss that day, if we are alive when the rapture happens, then we will not be a member of the church, but we will be then as those tribulation saints. So it's a grave warning and something that we need to share with people. And of course, You guys know that Calvary Chapel is a pre-tribulation church. We're the Church of Philadelphia, so to speak, the one that is waiting, watching, keeping itself pure on any given moment, knowing that Christ could return for his bride, which is us. And that's the anticipation that the church has had ever since Paul. Ever since Paul talked about being taken in a twinkling of an eye. He had to tell him, look, oh no, you didn't miss it. You're not, you know, these tribulations that you're going through now are not the great tribulations. You haven't missed that day when Jesus is going to call you up. So, because the dead in Christ are going to rise up first. And then those who are alive will be taken. In a twinkling of an eye will be changed. The corruptible will become incorruptible. The mortal will become immortal. So even at that time, people were wondering and concerned, oh, did I miss it or what's happening? Well, that's why he gives us these three chapters to give us clarity in with regards to the last days and the end times. And then, of course, we have all the other prophecies that we'll get into and start looking at next week. As far as the Old Testament and how it all ties in as we look at Daniel in some level of detail in Ezekiel. But you remember last week we began the Olivet Discourse, and Jesus indicated to his four disciples that the temple that they wondered and marveled at so amazingly at it, it was going to be utterly destroyed, as no stone was going to be left unturned. It would be totally destroyed. There won't be a stone left on top of one another. And we read Mark 13, 1 through 14. Then they asked him, when will this occur? When will the end of the age come? Because they thought when the temple was destroyed, then that would be the end of the age and Jesus would reign and rule. And they asked what the sign would be when all these things were fulfilled. But it appeared, as we looked at in Mark chapter 13, that Jesus hadn't answered the question as far as when the temple was going to be destroyed. So we went ahead and looked at the harmony of the Gospels and covered Luke 21, 7 through 24. Now, we won't go through that again. But we were looking at the nuggets, and we're looking for the differences that are in the Gospel, and we found many nuggets in Luke 21, 7 through 24 as it talked about the things that were preparing them and for them to see the signs of the time when the temple would be destroyed. And then after the temple was destroyed, then we see Luke, it goes right into, now watch, for all the signs that are going to take place that signify the beginning of the end times. Because when you see those beginnings happening, then you know your redemption draws near. Your redemption draws near because the rapture is about to happen. That's what Luke is telling us. Mark chapter 13, conversely, speaks mainly to the church regarding preaching the gospel to all nations. And to those left behind, as I said, the Jewish remnant and the tribulation saints, as it addresses the readers, says, the ones that are left behind, you readers understand, because he's talking to his apostles, talking to his disciples. Now the disciples aren't there anymore, it's going to be the readers who's left. You readers understand that when you see these things happening, that the time of the great tribulation is drawing near. Be prepared to leave Jerusalem. He's speaking specifically to the Jews. Be prepared to leave Jerusalem and flee to the wilderness. And again, we'll get into the woman fleeing into the wilderness and all that next week, as the woman represents Israel in Revelation chapter 12. But tonight, we're going to fill in more gaps as we're going to continue on in Luke chapter 21, and we're going to see the emphasis placed on knowing and watching. But first, what we're going to do is reread Mark 13, 1 through 14, and see how it applies to the church in the last days. Because literally, Mark chapter 13, 3 through, actually, 5 through 13 is really where we're at as far as the church is concerned. So let's go ahead and read that. I'll start with 13:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. That's the first thing he tells all of us. Take heed no one deceives you. We have a responsibility not to be deceived. Not to be complacent, not to rest on somebody else's understanding, but for us to have our own understanding in Christ. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, I am he and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. And we said that this was the beginning of birth pangs or birth pains. It's like a woman in labor. We know that's going to start. It's going to start, and they're going to get more and more intense. And that's what in Luke it's talking about. When you see that labor pain starting to happen, look to your redemption as it draws near, as these things begin to happen. It says, and it goes on in verse 9, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated, but all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And then it goes on to say, I want to read 14. And then it goes right into, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. So there's a break there between 13 and 14, right? So basically what we have is from verses 5 through 13 is the last days described for the church. Fulfilling, sharing the gospel to all nations. Now, this isn't the last time that the gospel is going to be shared, because we know that during the tribulation time that we're going to have two prophets share the gospel. We're going to have 144,000 Jews share the gospel. We're also going to have an angel go around sharing the gospel and warning, don't take the mark of the beast. But the gospel had to be shared to all nations first, because that's what would complete the fullness of the Gentiles. Amen? That's what would prepare, lay the groundwork so that the rapture would happen, as we're going to get into the verses in the Word where it says all this is to take place. All right, so having read that, the Olivet Discourse, birth pains and persecution. So, Jesus now has his inner circle with him. He's on the Mount of Olives in verses 3 and 4. And there's a subtle difference here, though, with their question. And one of the first nuggets that I mind, if you don't mind, one of the first nuggets I mind was the difference between their questions. And this takes, you know, and it's interesting as you go through this. In Luke 21:7, their question was, teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? What's the question there in verse 4? The question there is, tell us when these things will be, which is the same, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? So the nuance or the subtle difference is in Luke they're saying, when are these things going to begin to happen? And then the question that they ask here in Mark is, when's it all going to be fulfilled? So you have the starting point and the ending point shown in Luke and Mark. All right? So that's why we see the abomination of desolation talked about in Mark, and it's not even mentioned, if you will, in Luke. The only reference to the second coming of Christ is to say, when you see the things that are starting to happen, those birth pangs starting to take place, that's going to lead to the second coming of Christ, know that your redemption draws nigh or draws near. Okay? So right off the bat, we have a difference or a nugget that we were able to mine. So, verses 5 and 6. Take heed that no one deceives you, back in Mark 3, 5, and 6. As many will come pretending to be Jesus, and many will be deceived. Luke adds, the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. So there's going to be many who are going to be saying, hey, the rapture's coming. The time draws near. Sell all your stuff. Come with me. But what's Jesus saying, or what's it saying in Luke? Don't listen to him. How many times have we seen that happen? Huh? Well, even the, remember the Haley Bop or whatever it was, where they literally poisoned themselves. I mean, they sold all their stuff and they laid down and took poison to try to fly to some comet. I mean, how absurd is that? If you don't believe the truth, you'll believe anything. If you won't accept the truth, you'll believe anything. And that's what these people had done. And Jesus is very clear. He said, don't believe that stuff. He said, no one knows the hour or the day. Don't believe it when somebody says, well, I know when it's going to happen. They've been false prophets have been saying this time after time. And Jesus warned us about that. So Luke talks about, or adds to it, if they say the rapture's about to happen, don't believe them either. Whereas Mark is saying, hey, I'm the Jesus, I'm the Messiah. Well, there's going to be one that comes who's going to make peace, set up a 7-year peace treaty, who comes in his own name, who is going to be the false Messiah, and we know him as the Antichrist. That's what the world is getting set up for that one to come in. They wouldn't accept the true Messiah, the good shepherd, but they will accept a wicked shepherd, the evil shepherd, the one who comes in his own name, because he will create that safety and security that they so dearly are hoping for here on earth, and allow them to rebuild their temple. And to them, that's going to be the Messiah. Oh, how wrong they will be. But this is all part of the story, which again we'll get into more next week. So, the non-signs are also given in verse 7. Wars and rumors of wars. These have happened and will continue to happen as man is an evil and violent creature without God. But the end is not yet. But one of the things that it goes on to talk about, it says nation will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms. It's inferred here that these are like world wars will take place. Wars like had never happened before. I mean, literally, nations, many nations against many nations, many kingdoms against many kingdoms will come against one another. And we've seen that happen twice. Right now it seems like we're at a global war. Well, we got a global war on terror or whatever, right? Seems like it's going on more and more. So those are some of the non-signs. But then it goes on to say, and I like to read it out of the New Living Translation, Mark 13:8. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. So when we see the earthquakes, when we see the famines, when we see the turmoil, the chaos that's starting, not just wars and rumors of war, but all these other things starting to build on top of that, earthquakes in various places, this is the beginning of the birth pangs. This is the things that we look to know the sign that our redemption draws near. And what does he go on to say in verse 9? Jesus goes on to say, but watch out for yourselves, for you'll be given over to councils and beaten in synagogues, and you'll be brought before rulers and kings for his sakes, for Christ's sake, as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. The fullness of the Gentiles must come in. Romans 11:25 says in part, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. This is a requirement for the rapture to take place. This was the mission of the church all along, was to bring in as many brothers and sisters in Christ that we could by sharing the way, the truth, and the life until God's appointed time when that last Gentile, the fullness of the Gentile, has happened. Not to be confused with last week where it talked about how the times of the Gentiles was going to be in Jerusalem, right? Fullness of the Gentiles is different than the times of the Gentiles. Remember, from Nebuchadnezzar until Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming, the times of the Gentiles, Jerusalem is being trampled. Right now we have a Muslim mosque sitting on, you know, called the Dome of the Rock, sitting on Mount Moriah, sitting on the Temple Mount. That tells you that the Gentiles are still in charge of Jerusalem and that they're still trampling Jerusalem. So the time of the Gentiles will end once Christ comes back. The fullness of the Gentiles, though, is the mission of the church, gathering together all believers. And of course, During that time, we will also be doing or sharing the good news with the Jews, so that we will have as many Messianic Jews join the church as possible as well. And God knows who they are. God knows their heart. And that's why we support the Chosen People Ministries and other ministries like that. So, we don't know who that last Gentile is. We don't even know how many are left, right? But we can start to see the signs starting to happen. And we're going to see later that parable of the fig tree, both in Luke and in Mark. And we're going to see some nuances there. But we know that things are getting close. And Jesus is talking to his church as a whole from verses 5 through 13 in Mark. And then in verse 14, it changes and addresses to the readers that are left, because his disciples will be gone. It'll be then the non-believers, the Jews and the tribulation saints that'll be left, and that they will need to heed and read and heed. So, it also, in verse 11, the church is identified as the witness, as they shall testify by the Holy Spirit. Only the church can testify by the Holy Spirit. Remember in Matthew, it talked about when he was sharing with his apostles, when he was sending them out in Matthew 10, about how don't worry about what you're going to say, but the Holy Spirit will speak in you. This is a reference, the same kind of reference here. The Holy Spirit will speak in them. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling these people, being the witness, and will speak through them as on Christ's behalf. And will speak and be the witness that Christ desires. And then it goes on to say that enemies in these last days may be your family, as the great apostasia will occur in verse 12. Now, we had again saw this in Matthew chapter 10 about how Jesus, when he was sending out his first apostles, told them that their family would turn against them, that parents would turn in their children, brothers would turn in their sisters, sisters their brothers, all this. The family will turn against them. But that didn't happen in their first mission trip when they went out. So it happened at the same time that it's talking about here in Mark. Now Jesus is addressing he's addressing his four disciples, giving them additional clarity, saying, yes, these things are going to happen. They're going to continue to happen. But it's going to happen, how should I say, in its most extreme point, when the great falling away takes place. Yes, they're going to be taken to the synagogues. They're going to be beaten with stripes for what they are called, you know, what's called blasphemy, because they're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But in the last days, when the great apostasia occurs, that's when the family is going to turn against one another, because we see that love grows cold and people will hate us for who we represent. That's when the family will turn against one another, and literally, people will be persecuted for being Christians in their own families. Now, again, we see that in the Muslims that happens, but we're talking about Christians in their own families now will be hated because of the great falling away. And I have a reference for that as well. But let's turn to Matthew 24, 9 through 14, because Matthew 24, 9 through 14, I only want to touch on Matthew, because I want to save that for Sunday. But Matthew 24, 9 through 14 gives us a little more insight into this. And what I like about Matthew is that we have Luke gives us look to the rapture. We have Mark telling us look to be ready to flee from the abomination of desolation. The beauty of Matthew, and why I want to save it for Sunday, is it has the balance of both. It says, yes, there's going to be a rapture. Yes, be ready to flee. And then it goes on and gives the parables about the 10 virgins, about how to make sure you have your lamps filled with oil and be prepared, and about the talents and using the talents. So it literally has the balance of both. But what we're looking at is the extremes, if you will. The rapture versus the fleeing when the abomination of desolation comes in. But let's go ahead and read Matthew 24, 9 through 14. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Not the great tribulation or just persecution. Then they will deliver you up to persecution and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So basically what Matthew clarifies is we are going to see that great falling away. When we look at the scripture, and we're going to look at that here in just a few minutes, falling away is the apostasia. Lawlessness comes. Families will be torn apart because of lawlessness. Love grows cold. No longer will children love their parents and parents love their children. They're more concerned about whatever this world has to offer for them. And that's what's tearing apart the family. That's the deceiver that's in the family right now, because we see lawlessness is at work right now in our own midst, amongst us right now. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:6 through 9, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So, Mark, just to kind of summarize, Mark talked about how the family will turn against one another. Matthew clarifies that's because of the lawlessness and the love growing cold. They'll tear apart. The family will literally be torn apart. But in the last days, we're to continue sharing the gospel unto the end, and we will be saved. Saved either because we've endured in faith and the Lord takes us home, or because the rapture happens and we shared that testimony with that last Gentile that needed to be saved and we all get to go home. So, that's the picture here. And the lawless one will then be revealed. So, all this has to happen. So, there's like, you have to have the lawlessness come upon us. Looks like we're there, right? These signs are upon us, right? The lawlessness has come. Families are being torn apart. This is a sign that we're getting close. You've got to remember, the Antichrist, or I should say Satan, Antichrist is a minion of Satan. Satan don't know when God's timing is. So he's got to be prepared every season. It isn't like he knows when it's going to happen. So is there an Antichrist alive today? Yeah, I believe there's been one ever since Christ was on the cross, right? Because he's had to have his person ready to go. But the time was never right for him to be able to step in and assume that world leader role. But it's getting set up for it now. Amen? That's exactly what the world's getting set up to do. And that's why this lawlessness is happening. So we sit around and say, oh, isn't things getting bad? Hallelujah. Rejoice. That means our redemption draws near. Amen? All right. So, he who endures to the end, enduring faith to face the persecution as well as to preach that gospel. And prayerfully we'll share with that last Gentile and we'll all go home. Let's go ahead and read verses 28 through 36 in Luke. Now watch for the rapture, the parable of the fig tree in Luke. So we want to read 21 verses 28 through 36. All right, so now we're in Luke. I know we didn't get into too many nuggets, but we're going to now. 28. So again, 25 through 27 basically says the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. And it talks about how all the heavenlies are going to change and all that. But the real thing is this. Now when these things begin in verse 28 to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws near. All these things are really just things saying, hey, all these things are going to happen. But when you see these things first starting to happen, just like the lawlessness and the earthquakes and those things, those birth pangs starting to happen, look up because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding, and see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Talking about being ready for the rapture. Don't miss it. Can we miss it? Yeah. If you go back into the world, if you're carousing and you're drunken, you're a drunkard or you're doing the things of the flesh, you can miss this. So be watching, be praying that you're counted worthy. How are you worthy? Being in Christ, belonging to Christ, resting in Him. So, now, when you see these things happen, look up and lift up your heads as your redemption or your deliverance from all these things draws near. And this then in verse 36 clarifies, pray that you are counted worthy to escape all these things. Not going to miss the wrath of the Lamb and then come back for the great tribulation and see the abomination of desolation, which is the wrath of God. You're not going to be just in the wrath of God and miss the wrath of the Lamb. You're going to miss all these things. You're going to miss all 7 years. I like to think of it as, and we'll get into this, and if you've listened to my end time study, it's as if during that 7 year period, as we are raptured, we then, in a Jewish wedding, they have a 7 day period where they have the bridal chamber, where the new bride and her groom are in the wedding chamber for 7 days. That's like a picture of us being with Christ in the most intimate relationship that we ever have, because ever have had, even though He's living in us, we'll be face to face with Him. We will know as we are known. And for 7 years, I believe, we'll be spending that intimate time with Him while, guess what's happening? The great tribulation, or tribulation and great tribulation, or the 70th week of Daniel is taking place down here on earth. I believe that's what this is describing. But be Bereans, search it out for yourselves. So, pressing on. Then Jesus gives us spiritual insight via this parable. Remember, a parable is intended to give those who have spiritual insight understanding. Right? So we're to look at these things. He gives it to us in a parable because those that don't belong to Him won't understand. But us who have the Spirit can understand all He desires us to know through the Spirit, our teacher, right? The Holy Spirit Himself. All right, so I want to look at this parable in some detail. So, this is going to tell us what it means by begins, when these things begin. So in verse 29 through 30, it says, look at the fig tree and all the trees, when they are already budding. Know the season is near. So what's that saying? It says, hey, when you see a tree starting to bud, you know it's about ready to produce leaves. It's about ready to produce fruit. You know it's fruit-bearing season, or if you will, that fruit, that vengeance, the fruit of vengeance is about to be sprung, if you will, for those who are going to be left behind. Know that that's drawing near. You're not going to be in it, but be ready. Be watching. We know that the fig tree is a common reference to Israel throughout the Bible. And I believe it's a reference to when it became a nation in May 14th, 1948. When it talks about that tree budding, when the leaves come on the tree, when that tree now starts to sprout again, I believe that's a reference to when it became a nation. Because before May 14th, 1948, there was no tree known as Israel. It was only when the UN, the only good thing that they've done that I can think of, ever, they've been trying to undo that ever since, they voted in Israel as a nation in the United Nations. All right? So I believe we know that Israel is the prophetic clock that we look at. But there's other nations that we have to also look at. And that's why he says, and all the other trees. Right? So in Luke, it talked about the fig tree and the other trees, all the other trees. Well, what could that possibly mean? Well, I believe what that means, it refers to all the other prophecies associated with the end times, or the last days leading up to the end times. Last days leading up to the end times. To me, end times is the tribulation period. That's that 7 year period, because there ain't going to be no more time after that. Right? Times, time, and a half a time. That's it. 7 years. All right? that there's going to be many other nations involved as far as prophecies that have to take place, and we'll be able to see these things begin to happen. As we talked about before, the prophecies of Isaiah 17, where 10 nations come against Israel for the sole purpose of trying to totally destroy her. Syria and Egypt and these other nations are going to try to come against Israel. Let me back that up. There'll be 10 nations. I know it's led by Syria. And Damascus will be utterly destroyed and will never be rebuilt again. I believe we're seeing that foundation starting to get laid right now as far as Isaiah 17 starting to take place. As I think we're going to see Damascus here destroyed. So that tree is currently budding. Now as we see these nations start to gather together against Israel, watch and be ready. Prophecy of Isaiah 19 we talked about, that Egypt will have the worst tyrant ever ruling over them, like the Muslim Brotherhood. Right? They will revolt against that, and they will become a nation of believers in Christ. It'll be one of the greatest revivals ever known in a Muslim country, as it talks about in Isaiah 19. Another branch that's beginning to bud. That's the beginning of the things that are happening. Prophecy of Ezekiel 38. Israel is invaded by Russia. Gog, who commands Magog, which is Russia. Iran, Turkey, and Northern Africa are going to invade them, but they're going to invade them to take the spoils from Israel. Well, guess what has just been discovered off the coast of Israel? The largest gas deposit known to mankind. What is Russia interested in? Having a monopoly on gas over there in that part of the world. I say another branch that's leaves are starting to bud. So, it appears that summer is drawing close, as Christ said in Luke 21. And let's be clear. There are no other prophecies that preclude the rapture save one. The fullness of the Gentiles coming in. And we don't know what day or hour that's going to happen, because whoever shares that gospel with that last person, man, we could be out of here. All right? So it can happen any time, and we're to be looking with anticipation that it will. And he goes on in verse 31 of Luke there. When you see these things begin to happen, know the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near for those who are about to be raptured and will stand with Jesus. It says, pray that you're worthy to escape these things and to be able to stand with Jesus, stand before Jesus Christ. Stand before Him in that bridal chamber. What an awesome God we have. And then it goes on to say in verse 32, assuredly, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Now, I agree with Chuck Missler. This generation refers to the one in which the rapture occurs. It could be some people think that as well, when it's a generation. Well, is it 40 years, 80 years, 120 years? I don't know what a generation is. I don't think it has to be that complicated, but for sure, when the rapture happens, it's that generation, because it's going to be really close for the end time to come. Because once the rapture happens, last days are over. Now, there's no inkling in the Bible, as far as I know, between how long it is between the rapture and the start of the 7-year tribulation. I don't know if, you know, you have the rapture and then the next day, you know, the Antichrist comes in and makes the peace treaty for 7 years. I don't know. But we know the rapture will happen. And then, sometime after that, in the near future, 70th week of Daniel will begin. So, I believe that it says that assuredly this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. The generation, I believe, that experienced the rapture is what they're talking about here. It says, heaven and earth will pass away in verse 33, but my words will by no means pass away. And then he goes on to warn us to watch and heed that we don't miss the rapture in verses 34 through 36. Be careful your heart is not dulled by the world and fleshly pursuit, and that day comes on you unexpectedly like a trap, as it will come upon everyone living on the earth, as it says in the New Living Translation. And for us, it'll be a good snare for all those watching and waiting, for it'll be the Lord who himself will descend and call us up to him. And the reason I call it a snare, the term caught up means snatched up, taken away, like we're snared, taken away, like a bird, you know, caught in a snare and taken home. So we will be caught up in a twinkling of an eye, the shout of the Lord calling his bride. And it says, with the voice of an archangel. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. With the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And this is not to be confused with the last of the seven trumpets, which is part of the Lamb's wrath. So 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. And hang on to this. Because remember, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There are many mansions, and I will come for you. Well, this is where he's going to fulfill that if we're still alive here on the earth, that he will come for us. All right, what does it say there? It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. When we see these things happening, when we see this lawlessness taking place and our country falling apart and evil just look like it's winning, remember this all has to take place. And it's an exciting time because we know that's the beginning of the travails, of the labor pains. And so our redemption draws near, and that's an exciting time for us, not a time of panic and worry. So, now, I want to make sure you understand, because a lot of the mid-tribbers and post-tribbers, well, the trumpet call of God is, that's got to be the last trumpet of the wrath of the Lamb. No, it's not. That's the seventh trumpet of the wrath of the Lamb. There's a half hour of silence, no shouting going on. Right? A half hour of silence. And then it's poured out. This happens with a shout. What do I think he's going to say? Robin, come up here. Philip, come up here. Vanessa, come up here. Joe, Sue, Joey, all of it, come up here by name. What an awesome God. I mean, he will call each and every one of us to him. Why? Because he personally died for each and every one of us. And he's went and prepared a place for each and every one of us individually. How special is that? What an awesome God. I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing God that we have. So, he ends then with the exhortation. Verse 36. To pray always that we are counted worthy to escape all these things by being in or belonging to Christ Jesus and trusting in him to come for us. And that's why I say it is important to know that the rapture is going to happen and we need to be watching that because it is a matter of faith. We have faith that Jesus is good to his word, that he will come for us, that there will be a trumpet call and that those who are alive will be caught up and will be taken to him. And it's clear, I hope it's getting clearer, when this is all going to take place in Luke, Mark, and Matthew as it's laid out and defined. We're also going to see that there's more description in Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah in these different places that'll add to this. But it's important for us to know, to understand, to be watching, to be ready. Can you be saved without this? Yes. But can you miss the rapture because you're not prepared? Yes. Jesus warns us that we can't. Because if you think, well, I'm going to wait and watch for the Antichrist, guess what? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss his call. And we'll see next week it talks about one will be in the field, one will be taken. One will be at the whatever and be taken. The other will be left behind. So, he is faithful. But we must do our part. Know, watch, and be ready. That's what he says all throughout Luke chapter 21. Don't miss that day. And he says that to those who are unprepared, the day comes as a thief in the night. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:1. You should be pretty close. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 7. All right, so it will come as a thief in the night, but we won't be surprised. But concerning the times and the seasons, what was we just talking about? What was Jesus just talking about? Here, Paul is reiterating what Jesus has said, right? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Jesus already told you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Sound familiar? Wonder where Paul got that. Go figure. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So, be watching. Be ready. We are sons of the light. We will not be surprised. It won't come like a thief in the night that we're unprepared and we miss it, so to speak, as others will. So, a final encouragement, if you will, then, from Paul regarding what we've read in Luke. And we started late. Let me go ahead and close here. As we're going to do a little gold mining now, as we're going to look at what Mark says regarding the abomination of desolation as well as the parable of the fig tree. So let's go ahead and we're going to go back to Mark chapter 13. We're going to be in verses 28 through 35. Mark chapter 13, 28 through 35. Share my notes first. Major difference between the accounts of Luke 21 and Mark 13 is in Luke, the church is told to know and watch for when these things begin as the redemption draws near, as I said numerous times. And there's no reference, as I stated before, regarding the abomination of desolation. However, Mark 13, the whole middle third of the chapter is focused on the events leading up to the 70th week of Daniel and the Great Tribulation. And therefore, for them to recognize when the abomination of desolation is set up, to flee, because they're going to be the remnant. They're going to be taken care of. So when they see that, let the reader understand, is what it says. No one else is going to be there to guide them. As the restrainer has been taken away, those in Judea flee to the mountains, as you are the remnant that will be protected. You know, the restrainer will be taken out of there. And who is the restrainer? The restrainer is the Holy Spirit that is in Christ's body. What's Christ's body here on earth? The church. So when the rapture occurs, the restrainer is going to be taken out of here. That's when lawlessness is going to run amok. And there will be no one left to guide them, so they must read, they must understand and know what to do. So they got to be ready. So, now let's go ahead and read the parable of the fig tree in Mark and look at the differences that we have here. Mark 13:28, and it says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So what's the nuggets here? Well, the nuggets here in verse 28. The leaves have already been brought forth. Remember in Luke, it was talking about the buds. No leaves. What's that telling us? Saying that the troubles or the travails that they're to look for are going to be happening later than when the rapture occurred. Right? The rapture occurs when things are budding. Here the leaves are on the tree. That's when the travails and those the 70th week of Daniel starts to take place. See the difference there? So they're later in that season. Okay, so the time of Jacob's trouble is that much closer when they see these things happening and know that the tribulation is near at the door, not redemption. Didn't say anything about your redemption draws near. It says, know that the time is near. Well, what time? The time of the abomination of desolation. It's getting closer because the first 3.5 year period started, is basically what it's saying. The 70th week of Daniel has started. Know that this fig tree, when it's got leaves, that season has drawn near. And it says, and for general information, I think I already said it, that the wrath of the Lamb is the first 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the 7-year period is the wrath of God. So it's talking about the apocalypse, the four horsemen of apocalypse, right? You got the white horse that goes out, which is the Antichrist, and he starts conquering the world. You got famine. You got the Grim Reaper or the Hades going out, all these different ones, red, black, white. I think there's a green one or whatever color it is, chartreuse or something like that. The pale horse, there's a white one, and then there's a pale one, right? And I think it's like a green or something when you look it up. But the bottom line is, that's the things that they're looking for. We're out of here before that starts, because he says we're going to escape the wrath of the Lamb. All right? Pressing on. Assuredly, this generation will not pass away till all these things take place, indicating that they will experience all these things described as these things are upon them. Remember in Luke it says, until all the things take place. Doesn't say these things. In other words, it's not a personal thing that's going to happen to you. It's going to happen, but it's not a these things. These things means it's applied to you. These things are affecting you. Well, these people are going to be affected by that tribulation period. We were to look when these things begin, but we won't be impacted by it. They will be impacted by these things. We are to escape all these things, right? They will suffer all these things. So, now, in verses 32 through 35, as we finish, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So what I say to you, he's talking to those four disciples, but what he says to them, he's saying to all, watch. So basically this last 32 through 35 is that final warning to everybody. Don't miss out on the rapture. Don't miss out on knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. No one knows the day or the hour. At that time, not even Jesus, because his deity had been veiled. Only the Father knew it in verses 32 through 33. So he says, take heed, watch and pray, because you don't know the time either. It's like the master of the house going to a far country, leaving the servants in charge. Each is left to do their assigned jobs, with the doorkeeper commanded to watch. Watch, therefore, as no one knows when the master will return. And come suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And you miss the opportunity to escape all these things. The rapture. You know, the bottom line here is we're all assigned and commanded to be doorkeepers. We're all commanded to watch, to pray. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. It is no mistake that God in his word calls it the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God. It says that we are not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to either one of those. So comfort one another with these words. Be faithful. Be in Christ. Remain vigilant. Be that bride waiting for the groom to come to snatch us away. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you. We adore you. Thank you for being our God and us being your people. Thank you for this time to be able to just share to some degree the sequence of events that you put in my heart to share. And I just pray that clarity has come. And Father, I pray that it has all been delivered in the spirit of truth, Father, and that if there's anything that is in error or needs correcting, I pray that it will be corrected, either from myself or in personal Bible study for each and every one here. So we lift this up to you, Father, but the bottom line is we are to be watching. We are to be ready. We are to be waiting for that trumpet call, that archangel, the voice of the archangel, as The Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, comes for us and calls us by name to take us home. So we thank You for that, and we just pray that we are worthy as we stay in Christ and rest in Him. And we know that's how we're counted worthy. And may You be glorified in all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.